PRX and NPR, welcome back to the Snap Judgment Proof episode. My name is Glenn Washington, and today on the show, we're following real people whose extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof. And we're jumping back in time to the 1950s and across the pond, where the fate of the world rests on two suburban housewives. Snap Judgment.
My name's Gay Search, and I was born in a suburb of London called Ruislip, which is famed for having five different tube stations in it, and not a lot else.
But on one humdrum Ruislip day,
I came home and my mum said, "Oh, we've got new neighbours, a Canadian couple."
Peter and Helen Kroger, they just moved into the bungalow next door. But Peter, Gay's family rarely saw him. He spent all day running this rare antiquarian bookshop that sold books all over the world. But Helen, she became like BFFs with the family.
Helen was something like we'd never seen before, really. She wore trousers, which women simply didn't in the 50s, and very loud. "Hi, doll, how's it going? It's something I thought was terrific.
In a town where everyone was prim and proper, Helen was risque, and that's why Gay's mom liked her.
Helen would lend her a book called Marjorie Morningstar, which was extremely soft porn of the 50s that my mother hid. So I read this book sneakily.
Soon, Gay's mom and Helen were raising pinkies together at tea parties. And sometimes, Helen would take this very fancy camera and be the party's photographer.
The photographs were really awful, you know, heads missing at the edge of frame.
But as strange and Canadian as Helen was, she became one of the girls. After tea parties, she'd come over, and Gay's mom and Helen would share some drinks, gossip, and then gossip some more. For Gay, having Helen around had its perks too.
I had a boyfriend at the time who had a motorbike, and I was absolutely forbidden from going on this motorbike. And she did see me on the motorbike one day, and later on just said quietly, "You know, just be very careful. I won't tell your mother, but just be very careful." She was the kind of adult that wouldn't rat on you.
Gay, at that point, did you have any clue about who Helen actually was?
No, absolutely not a clue. Not a clue, no.
Okay, so Peter and Helen Kroger were not really Peter and Helen Kroger.
They were Morris and Lonely. It was a November afternoon when I got home from school, and my mum said I had a phone call this afternoon from somebody at Scotland Yard. They're sending somebody to talk to us this evening. These two men arrived, and my mum came and said, "Can you come in a minute? They want to show you something."
One of the investigators takes out a photo from his pocket. It's a picture of a wanted man.
"Have you ever seen this man?" We'd looked at it and said, "No." And they said, "Fine." Then one of the guys said, "Could I just borrow your bike? I just want to go and check whether he's actually here."
The investigator takes Gay's bike out for a spin around the neighborhood. He pedals back and reports,
"He's definitely here. His car is here. He's definitely around." So the men left, and my parents said to us, "They have asked if they can station two agents in the house to see if they can find out where he is or where he's going."
So that weekend, two male agents from the MI5, which is like the British FBI, they come over. They don't say a word about their objective. They just camp out and wait.
My mum and one of the MI5 men were standing at the kitchen sink looking out through the window across at the Kroger's bungalow. And suddenly they both saw the Kroger's front door open and the man in the photograph hurry out, quick look over his shoulder, up the road and gone. Surely there must be some mistake, you know. These are Peter and Helen Kroger, they're friends of ours. Maybe, you know, they don't know who he is.
But then the MI5 said,
"Look, these are the enemies of this country.
Russian communism."
They fed my parents just enough information that Peter and Helen were not innocent dupes. Because this was at the height of the Cold War, we were frightened of the Russians.
But inside, the notion that Helen was somehow involved in all of this seemed ludicrous.
Helen seemed so totally scatty. You know, how could a woman who was always forgetting this or running out of that, how could she possibly be doing this? It just didn't add up.
Yet still, the chief insisted that Gay's mom needed to help the MI5 gather intel about her friend. All she had to do was just play along.
My mom, carrying on being completely normal with Helen, while there were two women from MI5 watching them out of the window, and that Helen should be given nothing to make her suspicious.
Every day from sunrise to sunset, the MI5 sent two female agents to Gay's house to spy on the Krogers. And when Helen came over, Gay's mom carried on with her, just like old times, laughing and drinking, but...
It was very, very stressful for her. Not somebody used to lying, you know, or living a lie with someone. One day, one of the MI5 female agents was sitting at the kitchen table with my mum having a cup of coffee when they heard the back gate go, which meant that Helen was on her way, and they had about 10 seconds. So she dived into the downstairs loo, and the agent, and as Helen walked through the back door, my mum suddenly realised two cups of coffee on the table. And she said as Helen walked through the door, "Oh God, I feel really ropey today. I mean, I haven't even cleared away the breakfast things," and picked up the cups and saucers and just, you know, slung them into the sink. My mother's heart, no doubt, racing at 100 miles a minute.
For weeks, Gay's mom was always on edge, until one day.
My mum got a phone call in the morning from MI5 to say,
"We think they're getting a bit nervy. We are going to arrest them all today."
There was a knock on the door. I went and opened the door, and it was Helen. Mum's in the kitchen, Auntie Helen. Helen just walked through, and my mum knew that they were going to be arrested within an hour. That was an absolutely heart-stopping moment for my mother. And Helen was saying, "Oh, I'm a bit fed up with this weather. Oh, you know, we're thinking we might take a vacation." And then she left.
And that's the last Gay's mom saw of Helen. That evening, the special branch went to the Kroger's house to arrest the couple. Inside, they uncovered a high-powered radio station, wads of cash, and a cigarette lighter that contained secret compartments to hold stolen documents. You see, Helen was actually involved in a deep Soviet spy ring.
She was not Helen Kroger, who grew up on a farm in Canada. She was Lona Cohen, who grew up in upstate New York, who was a colonel in the KGB, apparently. She was a senior.
Helen was stealing highly classified secrets about Britain's first nuclear submarine. She'd photograph the documents with her very fancy camera, hide them in antiquarian books, which Peter then would ship all over the world, namely Moscow. After hauling the spy couple off, the MI5 chief went to Gay's house and broke all this news.
What? That was just like a bolt from the blue. Absolutely gobsmacking, stunning. I certainly ran up to my bedroom and collected all the little things she'd given me over the years, little bits of jewellery, nail varnish, and threw it in the dustbin.
When Helen shows up in court, she was both angry and sad that her neighbour, her friend, was working hand in hand with the MI5.
Helen said, "I was helping the children. I couldn't tell them, but what I was doing was protecting the children." They were idealists. They were not traitors. They were not doing it for the money. They actually believed that the world would be a safer place if the Russians and the Americans had equal knowledge, you know, assured self-destruction would keep the world a safer place. That's what motivated them.
But still, Helen and her husband were sentenced to 20 years in separate prisons. And during this time, Gay's mom never got over her role in the arrest.
Well, this is slightly difficult territory. My mother died very young. My feeling is that the strain she was under during that time played a part. It made her question, you know, who else is lying to me? If I could be so taken in by this woman, by everything that she told me, I just believed, who's to say that other people aren't deceiving me? And I think it shook her to her foundations, really, that sense of who the hell can you trust? But on the other hand, she was sad on a human level.
She said to me, I never go to bed at night without thinking of those two. She said, because of the life they'd chosen, they had no children, they had no close family, they had no one. They had each other. And the thought of them locked in separate prisons, you know, was hard. You know, she did cry about it.
About a decade into their sentence, Gay decided to visit Helen in prison for the first time since the arrest. Gay was now in her 20s, and she was curious on what Auntie Helen had to say.
She was wearing a dress, because she wore prison garb, very un-Helen. And we sat down, and
it was strange and awkward.
She said, how was I? And I said, how I was. And she said, how was my dad? And he was fine.
And didn't ask about my mom.
And we chatted about this and that. I was in a relationship with a much older man at the time, and she said, bad idea, get out of that, that'll never work. And then pause. And then the visiting time was up, and as I was getting up to go, she said, I'll never forgive your mother for what she did to me. And I said, what choice did she have, Helen? She could have told me, she said. I said, oh, come on.
And on that note, I left her and didn't see her again.
There's a very famous quote from an English author called E.M. Forster, and he said, if I were called upon to betray my country or my friend, I hope I would have the courage to betray my country. Well, I think what makes my mother's situation very different was that the friend she thought she had was a complete fabrication. So what was the friendship? So what was there to betray in that sense?
Thank you so much, Gay, for sharing your mother's story. Now, for more information on this Cold War spy thriller, we'll have a link on our webpage, snapjudgment.org. That story is produced and scored by Davey Kim.